Hey, band campers, it's Len Testa and Jim Hill. We're busy recording another show right now, but we thought we would give you a quick update on how Disney's first Disney After Hours event went at the Magic Kingdom. Let's welcome in Jim. Jim, how's it going?
It's going well. Based on the reviews, the first After Hours thing didn't go well.
I hear the rumor 400 tickets were actually sold for this three-hour event in which 27 attractions were open. And then Disney gave away a whole bunch of tickets to DVC members who happened to be staying on site.
Yeah.
The total number of people in the park was about 1,000, I heard.
Yeah, so I'd actually also heard that it wasn't just DVC members. I mean, they reached out to travel agents. They reached out to ticket sellers out along 192 to get these people evangelized for the program. What, was it 3 weeks ago that they announced this?
Yeah, it was less than a month.
Okay. Yeah, Disney World is reaping what they sow. I mean, they've got so many people set up now. I'm going to Walt Disney World, so I need to book my dining 180 days out. And I need to lock in which park I'm going to.
60 days in advance, right?
Yeah, so to spring this sort of thing on people who have been trained to plan months out, they're like, hey, 3 weeks out, you can do something like this. It's really not a surprise that a lot of people didn't take advantage of this, or at least the initial offering.
I never thought of it that way. The fact that Disney would have conditioned us to plan 6 months in advance, that all of a sudden you can't change your schedule 3 months ahead.
You know, it's somewhat disingenuous to have the members of the Disney fan community who went into the park that night to experience this and to be endlessly tweeting about, oh my God, it's a disaster, and you know, this is going so badly. And it's like, they're enjoying all 27 rides.
Yeah, I saw pictures on social media of one guy who was literally the only person in his entire train of cars on Space Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said he rode until he got sick and didn't want to ride anymore.
To have people talking about what a disaster it is, but putting up pictures of them smiling, you know, in the park, enjoying, seem kind of disingenuous. So I guess, at least for me, I think it's a little early to be standing over the corpse of Disney After Hours and this doesn't work. This is terrible. It's like, let's let some actual civilians get to do this. I mean, I'd love to hear about number two or three or...
We're actually sending Laurel to the one this week.
Okay.
She said staying in the Magic Kingdom and not being able to see anyone around her sounds like the most depressing thing in the world, but she's trying to talk me into going. I don't know that I can. Yeah, she had already had the trip planned and it just happened to work out, but it's one of those things where you'll remember that experience for the rest of your life, and I don't know that it's a bad value.
When you throw in the fact that, you know, what they were offering people, complimentary beverages and ice cream bars and that sort of thing, it's still a high price point. But again, the interesting thing I was reading was that for a number of people who, it's like, look, if you're weighing the cost of a single day ticket versus paying this and getting the park semi-private, don't get me wrong, if you're equipped with the unofficial guide, the Lions app, you can do pretty well. But if there's only 1,000 people in the park, you can do ridiculously well.
Somebody asked me for a touring plan for this, and I was like, go left? I mean, it comes down to how long the ride lasts and how fast you can walk to the next thing. I don't know that you can see all 27 attractions in 3 hours. That would work out to be about an attraction every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them last longer than that. But could you get 20 rides in, 20 individual rides? That might be doable. And that's a full day, right? 20 is twice the number that the average guest gets in a full day at the Magic Kingdom. You could do it in 3 hours for $40 more and throw in some food. Like you said, I'm not ready to write this one off yet. We'll see what happens. Let me ask you this question. Any chance that they're going to expand this to the other parks?
In order to staff this park properly to have 27 rides open, you have to be able to mathematically support this idea.
It's a couple hundred cast members at least, right?
Yeah. Just recently, prepping for our big recording session in May, I came across opening day figures for Epcot about how many people they needed to properly staff that park, from like literally the people who put the merchandise on the shelf to the people who operated it, each of the rides. And they needed, I want to say, 2,400 people in the park to run it on opening day at Epcot.
Okay.
Just taking that as a baseline, the kingdom, if you get down to the utilidors and the people who are in the support positions, the people you're seeing on stage, whether they're dressed as characters, the ones operating the rides, or the guy who's sweeping up the popcorn, there's at least a third as many below, coupled with the people who had to man the entrance to the parking lot.
Yeah, security and buses and...
Yeah, there's a huge cadre of people that had to be there to support this event. And I think push comes to shove at some point, this is Disney. They're not immediately going to walk away from this idea, but do we need to do more publicity? Do we need to shrink in the size? This event was created to create an additional revenue stream.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like that was doing that.
But again, this is the first time.
Yeah, the first one, right.
If we go by the Orville and Wilbur principle, what, they went 100 feet? Yeah, that's probably a bad day to start talking about the frequent flyer program.
That's one of the best lines we've ever had on the show. That was great. And where are the peanuts? What?
Do we need 8 in a pack or 6? I can't figure this out.
Getting ahead of ourselves here. All right. So let me ask this other question, Jim. Do you think the morning program, though, where you get in 75 minutes early, it's $70, and you get 3 rides in the Magic Kingdom, you think that's going to be more successful?
If anything, they're going to run into the exact same issue. In a world where you're getting your character dining lined up 6 months in advance, who's going to have the flexibility to leap on this? If you've already locked in getting into Be Our Guest or over at the Contemporary, the Chef Mickey's.
Yeah, you're not going to throw it all away for Pinocchio Village House.
No, I think if this is going to be successful in a long-term way, and over just like the last 2 weeks or so, when Disney's been pressed on this, it's like, well, these are temporary programs. These are things we're trying out. A lot of these will probably come and go very quickly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If anything, I think the morning program is the harder sell because, frankly, people already have it in their mindset. Well, geez, I'd love to do that, but that's my MGM day, and I'm already dining with Doc McStuffins.
All right, Jim, let's do this. Laurel is going on Thursday. Maybe we'll have her on the show. The next quick update to tell us how it went.
I'd love for her insight. Laurel's a pro, and as long as she can get over that sort of Walking Dead vibe that the park
may have. Ghost town type thing. We should all dress up as zombies.
There you go.
Classic.
Set of brains, ice cream bars. Ice cream bars.
All right, Jim, thanks very much for the update. Band campers, thanks very much for listening. We will see you guys on the next show.
Take care, guys.